It's been many years that I've stood before people with an Easter message. And every year I can't wait to see what Spirit's going to tell me about Easter. Because every year it's a little bit different. I wish I could say definitively that the resurrection, as told in Scripture, actually happened the way it did. I wish I could say definitively that the way it was recounted in Scripture actually did not happen. I can't say either one of those things. In fact, I'm comfortable with the mystery of it. And I invite you to be comfortable with the mystery as well. You don't have to reject the earliest Easter teaching you ever got, if you got one. You don't have to embrace it completely either. The lovely thing about what we do here in New Thought churches, especially Unity, is there's room for whatever you believe. Because we encourage you, I encourage you, to listen to your own heart about it. What does it mean to you? What does the story do that touches you today? What is that? You know, our daily word today and Father Richard Rohr and Finn's meditation, all of those things bring us to a different understanding. And all of them are valuable, all of them are important, all of them are valid. So I looked again, I had to refresh myself on the words, but the co-founder of Unity, Charles Fillmore, believed in regeneration. He believed that the higher workings of spirit could infuse organic matter to regenerate the body into new life. And he believed that all the way up to the day he died. So let me just put this out there to you. I'm going to touch on some of the supernatural for a moment, because it's a supernatural story. That doesn't mean like woo-woo out there. It means something that is beyond what we perceive as natural. Okay? Let's start there. Because in talking with you over the years and in my own experiences, I know that you have had an encounter with the supernatural at some time or another. It could be the whisper in your ear of the voice of someone you love that has passed beyond this life, where you turn around because you think you heard them call your name. Yes? I have experienced in a sweat lodge at the extreme of human endurance for heat and steam and darkness and disorientation, pushed through that discomfort, and I saw a vision of the roof of the sweat lodge being opened up higher than I could see, and there were doves that arose from those steaming hot rocks that brought a sense of peace and joy that was beyond my understanding. Now, for those of you skeptics, I'm perfectly fine with you saying, well, okay, fine. You were pushed to your limit and you had a vision. Okay, yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Because it was something beyond the workings of my mind as I normally experience it. Therefore, to me, it was supernatural. Therefore, to me, it was proof that there is something beyond the ordinary workings of my mind. A few weeks after my dad passed, my brother, who lives up in Colorado, my dad passed here in Texas, my brother saw a man walking down the street that in a moment there, he was ready to chase after him because he looked like my dad, he had hair like my dad, he had a gait like my dad, he was about 6'4" like my dad. And when he looked again, the man wasn't there. Okay, So perhaps he ducked into a store. But perhaps for a moment there was, through a convergence of energetic phenomena, my dad was there. I'd be okay with that. I know I had another experience one time with one of my girlfriends in ministerial school. We got together to have a study session, and we sat down to study, and I said, "Wow, that's a really good perfume you're wearing. What is that?" Because it smelled like vanilla and oranges and roses all rolled together. And she said, "I didn't put anything on today. I thought it was you." And I said, "I didn't put anything on today." And then we looked at each other, and at the same time, we just said, "Oh, it's Mother Mary. She's here with us right now." I'm okay with that. Now, it's okay if you look at me standing here today and go, having some second thoughts about whether or not I should be sitting in this room right now. Those of you online, just stick with me for a minute. Don't close the screen yet. Oh, by the way, this was a gift from my friend that just happened to go with my outfit. Always a plus for a female minister. I noticed after I saw Alpha and Omega, it's from the Universal Life Church. And of course, we acknowledge the ordination from Universal Life Church, and they acknowledge ours. So I'm good with that. And it's pretty. And it is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Because that's what we're talking about today, isn't it? Endings and beginnings. How many times in your life, throwing the supernatural out the window, how many times in your life have you said goodbye to something only to say hello to something you didn't expect coming right after it? That's resurrection. That's renewal. That's the ongoing of things. The last couple of nights, I've been tuning in late while I'm getting ready for bed to the Coachella Music Festival in Indio, California. Boy, it's fun, except they start everything. Why are you laughing, Finn?
You're just so cool.
Well, I'm not. And they start everything, you know, like at 6:30 in the evening there, which is 8:30 here. So when the headline acts come on at the end of the night, I'm like, okay, I'll just listen to it while I go to sleep. So what was really great about that, besides the music, was the energy of thousands of people who've postponed their trips to Coachella, artists who've postponed their trips to Coachella, now into the third year, they're here and they're back. And there is a sea of people that are renewed and excited and happy to be out doing things with each other again. Look at all of you. Last year and the year before, we were going, what is going on? Unimaginable that we would feel so isolated. So difficult. And yet, here we are. So here's what I'd like to think about the resurrection story. Jesus was considered a troublemaker criminal. Yep, that's who we follow. The teachings of a troublemaking criminal. In the eyes of the Romans. And on top of that, the Jewish leadership was not too happy either, for all the reasons we've talked about in the past. And so in order to keep the Jewish leaders happy, and so the Romans could just kind of push this little problem aside, wash their hands of it, if you will, they put him to death. It was common punishment for troublemaking criminals. So they put him to death, and then something happened. That might be the end of the story right there. Just something happened a couple of days later. It's possible that the energy of the man Jesus, who knew his divinity completely, it's possible that his energy regenerated itself into a form that was recognizable to the people who loved him. That's possible. I'd like to think that it is. But you know, the skeptic in me would like to see somebody else do it too. You know? I'd like to do it. Just to see what it's like. But I'm also looking at the fact that my spouse died on an airplane. And by methods that we know for civilians like us to do resuscitation of a person, and through little portable machines that can restart a heart, he lived again. That's kind of a miracle, isn't it? We take it for granted now. But you know, 6 years ago, 5 years ago, I had a cancer diagnosis. And because I ran a session of poisons through my body, I'm alive. And my story echoes your stories. So what I'm asking you to do today on Easter is to expand the traditional idea of resurrection being necessary for the health of your soul, as told in Scripture, and to find deeply and personally what resurrection and renewal means for you. What does it mean for you? We laughed about it during a little work session up here at church this week. It might mean drinking more water than you normally drink, to replenish your tissues, to assist in the regeneration of your cells. How about that? Have you ever seen someone who, took on a spiritual practice, took up a more intensive exercise regimen, stopped drinking and drugging, who suddenly looked younger than they did before? How many of you have experienced that? I have. I have experienced myself getting younger as I get older. And it's not just this. Although, I'll take that all day long, but I'm younger in here. Younger in here. Oh, God, please, don't let me get brittle. Don't let me get crystallized. Keep my mind open. Keep my heart curious. Or vice versa. Let me be young and fresh every day because there is a world for me to see. I don't know if you noticed it when you came across the low water crossing down here over the pond, the blooms that were right there on the water's edge. They just said, look at me. Look at me. Brand new. I wasn't here last week. And here I am now. Aren't I pretty? That's what they said to me. And I didn't even have my window rolled down. And God grant us the grace to be able to do that for ourselves every day. Go ahead and put on that blanket of grace that you've been given, that you were born with, that says, yes, I'm a new creature every single day. and look for, as a choice, look for those things that prove it to be true. You know, sometimes you'll get smacked by God. Sometimes God will be just absolutely unmistakable in the message that comes to you. But on a daily basis, it's the little things that accumulate to prove God to us, to prove our own renewal to us every single day. And we have to tune our radios a little bit better. That metaphor came, and I'm sure didn't originate with me, but it's like, have you ever been in your car and you had the radio turned down, and so the music became background music? It was just background sound or background talk radio. And then you go, oh, wow, that's been playing for a while, but I haven't been listening. And so you turn it up a little bit. And we don't really have a deal anymore with technology where we have to fine-tune our radios, you know, to get right on the signal. But think of our lives as having a background of static. And we just have to tune in a little bit. We just have to turn up the volume. We just have to listen with intention to hear fabulous things from life. And I call that God, God and life, God and life. I had so much fun this week at Wimberley Valley Radio. Wonderful, just an incredible good time with Abby and Dee and Johnny Mac, and we were, you know, the flow was so great. And we talked about those times when we run into somebody by chance and they have something amazing to impart to us, either by their words or their presence, and then we never see that person again. And it so happened the person in this story, the name was Angel. Angel. So my friends, we have to listen. We have to pay attention. We have to see. And we begin to discover that, yeah, we're going to run into a few unpleasant people out there every now and then. But the chances are that we're going to find more people, more proof that there is goodness and beauty in the world. And my friends, especially right now, we have to hold to that for all the people who can't right now. I know I've spoken about this publicly here and in my meditations and prayers on Thursdays. But our responsibility as spiritual people is to hold the high watch in absentia, if you will, physically, but not separated spiritually, for all the people that suffer, that are having terrible, unthinkable losses in their lives. Indescribable horror. Those are our brothers and sisters, my friends. And so what we can do is to lift them up. What we can do is to pray for the dead. Have you done that? Have you said a prayer for the dead? Can you pretend like you're at a funeral or a memorial service for people who can't have one right now? Can you do that? Can you just say, beloved, I don't know your name, but I pray over you for the dignity and the grace of your passing. May your spirit depart in peace. May your spirit depart in peace, beloved. May your spirit depart in peace. We can say that prayer for all those faceless, nameless people who are dying right now, not just in Ukraine, but everywhere. We can pray for the dead. We can pray for the living. We can do that. We can hold to the truth. I don't want to miss these words. The risen Christ is not a one-time miracle, but the revelation of a universal pattern that's hard to see in the short run. And until we can see that universal pattern, which may not be in our lifetimes, we're going to hold to the truth. We're going to hold to the truth that God is present. We're going to hold to the truth that God is in every single human being. We're going to hold to the truth that renewal and resurrection is possible. And so take that story of Easter. Take the story of the resurrection. Take that story and let it become your own personal time of renewal. Your own deeper understanding. Let that happen for you today so that you carry it with you throughout the year. We have this holiday as a reminder, but it's not that one-time thing. It's every day to be renewed. That may mean sleeping in for an extra 15 minutes or hour and a half. It might mean getting up anyway and breathing into life that presents itself before you. Examine your routines. When's the last time you brushed your teeth consciously? Or you just throw that in there and go at it. Brush your teeth consciously. Try being present to that. Try giving thanks for your dental health. And you see, I'm using that as an example because there are so many things. And we have this spiritual muscle that we're learning to exercise so that we find grace and beauty and intention in everything that we do. Where every step that we take, our feet are on holy ground. Every person we encounter is a holy encounter. Every prayer that we say has great depth and breadth to it. So that even the most mundane things are imbued with a light that we can't see. You see? And when we do that, maybe there's room for us to experience those supernatural moments where we're just in awe of the thing behind the thing, the form that's behind the idea, the resurrected sense of self that we thought we'd lost. That's our quest. Because the energizing, magnetizing force and all of that is love. And really, that's what today is about too. It's about living love, not just as an emotion, not just as a feeling, not just as a sentiment, but love as a grounding thread of existence that touches everything. Believe what you will, my friends. You have permission to say, yes, it happened exactly as it's been told, or to say, I reject that completely. But I have a feeling that the truth is somewhere in between there. Because I don't know about you, but the realm of possibilities is exciting to me. I am waiting every day to be amazed by life. Every day. Had a flat the other day. The guy that came to, he contracts with Tesla to bring tires to people that have flats. And he was a Buddhist. And we stood in the parking lot of JD's convenience store up on 1826 and 45. Had the best chat in the parking lot with a guy who changed my tire that's a Buddhist. Thank you, God. That was so nice. And I was amazed. So just like the women who went to the burial place that morning and just went, whoa, what is this? Jesus said, you can't handle this yet, but just wait. Just wait. And they couldn't wait to go back and say, we saw something spectacular. So why don't you try that in your life? Find something that amazes you so much you can't wait to tell somebody about it. Because in that way, you're affirming the evidence of God. And so why don't we pray? And let all of this just sink in deeply. I'm going to ring this bell. If you can just be in your heart for a moment and let go of everything that might be a little brittle, that's gotten a little crystallized around the edges of your heart. If you can find that place in you that just says, I'm willing to become as a little child. Show me something amazing. Restore in me on this Easter day my sense of wonder and curiosity and exploration. Renew me that way. Let your heart say today, yes, our brother Jesus had something important to impart to this world. It still comes down today and resonates with the truth that lives in me. I identify with those words, that life, because that same life lives in me. Think about it, if you will, that this holiday, it was determined by the movement of the celestial bodies, the ones that our ancient ancestors watched. They were comforted and amazed at the consistency of the seasons and the solstices and the moons. They were encouraged. They were encouraged by the fertility of the season, the growth of life-giving crops. And in our spiritual heritage, there is Passover. And it informs us today If we had only one miracle, that would be enough. And so let yourself settle into the stream of time, the stream of tradition, the stream of unknowing, and yes, even the stream of the supernatural. The eyes of our hearts are still learning to see. May they be wide open. Breathe in a good life-giving breath, my friends, right now. Just breathe. And in that one breath, you and your body have given a gift to each other. And today, as our children come to be in this room with us, even now as we listen to the sound of littles, we're filled with hope. Children do that for us. And we, in turn, protect them and appreciate them. They, too, are our renewal. So, beloved, let the sights and the sounds and the colors and the green be fresh life to you today. Know that in the message of Easter, everlasting life is promised. And rest in that, in faith, in hope, and most of all, in love. And so it is. It is. Amen and amen.